one mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One mic,
one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One mic,
one voice.
Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, building the collective conscience, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. I am Michael Eric Owen.
And I am Deshaun Thornton, affectionately known as DT.
Affectionately, man.
Yeah, you know.
I'm telling you, man, when we're out, folks come up and say, hey, DT, and when I get emails, it's DT, and so... Yeah, affectionately and maybe internationally known as.
Definitely. How's your day going so far?
It's going, man. I mean, it's a weekend, you know, just trying to always stay focused and be productive. But sometimes I got to be honest, man, I just want to sit back and do nothing.
That is real. You know, and they've been asking you that question, I think about myself, you know, I'm alive, and that's sometimes my starting point, you know.
Absolutely.
When you don't want to do nothing else but just be there, you know.
Absolutely.
It's like, but we got so much going on, we got so many, you know, deadlines and schedules and things we have to keep up on. So I mean, the grind never stops, but you know, sometimes it's good to just take that mental break and breathe for a second.
It is. And you know, because that's kind of the fabric of America, this idea that we are always doing something. Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing something, somehow you are lazy.
Yeah, something's wrong with you. You know? It's like, man, when do I ever get a break?
And when do you ever get a chance to sit back and just contemplate, mm-hmm. you know, life, your career, even contemplate what you're doing each and every day, how creative and innovative you could be even more if you thought about it strategically. But no, if you sit back and you just in your office just thinking, well, Mike ain't doing nothing today.
Right. Never come your frame of thinking for that day, right? And, you know, but thinking about, you know, sitting down on the couch and all of that, I got a chance to watch some of the Olympics.
Okay.
And
okay.
Even us talking about, you know, the capabilities of the human body, man, we're watching some of the greatest athletes in the world.
Yeah.
Compete at the highest level to, you know, do whatever it is that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I find inspiration in that even, you know, like, man, I could do a lot of stuff, you know, if I wasn't sitting here on the couch.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like I said, it just helped you to grow that kind of a gratefulness of what we are capable of, you
Absolutely.
Know, when we do put our minds to it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's, you know, the games, they look very exciting. You know, I had a chance to watch some of it too, you know, women's volleyball. Watched Americans beat. I forget who they played, but didn't mm-hmm. matter. And I also had a chance to watch the women's soccer. You know, mm-hmm. they won by one.
Yeah, I seen that.
Yeah, watched a little bit of the men's basketball. It was practice for them against China. you know, and watched a little bit of the swimming. So, yeah, it's exciting, like you say. And my heart goes out to all athletes that have just put in the work. And you know, have dedicated themselves to their craft, and I just wish them the best. And you know, all can't win. I mean, that's the sad thing is you work so hard, but I think victory is in simply that, putting in the work.
And let me make another comment, because I did also get a chance to watch a little bit of the table tennis tournament.
Yeah,
watched the American take down the Spaniard. But I also thought about a little bet that we had made a little while back.
Absolutely.
You said that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
No.
You know, I think you said I'll school you in ping pong.
I think that's the word I actually used was
instructor. Right now, are you still sticking by that?
I am, man. And I think this table
I watched pretty intensively yesterday.
So you
I mean,
so you learned some new strategies.
I recorded it. I've got slow motion.
Right,
I got
right.
pause.
Right.
So, man, look, I'm ready.
So you ready? You got some new strategies.
Ready,
I don't know, man. I might have to rethink you on that Olympian level now. But, man, hey, listen. Last week we had the great opportunity to be out at the Teachers Appreciation fundraiser at the Galleria Country Club.
Man, very elegant.
Yeah, I mean, everybody looked wonderful. I mean, the room was beautiful. You know, the diversity there was great. You had Guatemalan dancers. You had Telemundo.
Reporting live, Telemundo.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. And we were, of course, One Mic, One Voice was recording live from there. It was a lot of fun.
I had a good time. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to tear the dance floor down, but, you know.
Yeah, it was like over,
I
man.
I had my little two-step going yeah, on. Yeah, you know, my seating position.
My knee was moving a little bit.
I seen Richard with a toe tap or two.
Because I thought when we got to the end, man, they were going to open it up so that, you know, the knee was shaking and the hips started moving a little bit. And then they said, you got to get out. See you later. But it was a lot of fun, though. And, you know, bravo to Kareem Muhammad for putting on another event that I think, you know, is making a difference in the lives of our teachers. And, you know, for the... you know, the honorees that received awards, I think they were well deserved. And so I was just happy to be part of the
very important work that Kareem is doing.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a wonderful event. Folks, we have a great show. I mean a great show. Sit back, relax, and One Mic, One Voice will be right back.
What's up, guys? I am Leah Marie, owner of The Selfie Gods. Make sure you head over to our website, www.theselfiegods.com, and order your very own selfie moon. If you need that good lighting whenever you out in the club or you out hanging out with your friends and you need some more light for your selfies, that's definitely what you want to get, the selfie moon.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. I mean, today we want to focus in on, you know, I mean, continues to be just a whole lot of misunderstanding when it comes to race in our country and the challenges that minority folk are facing. And I know police officers, DT, are trying to make some efforts, and community itself is trying to make some efforts to have better conversation, to have deeper understanding. Jamie talked about just the other show about how in Phoenix, Arizona, how they're not doing any protests because they're, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and other organizations are in conversation with the police. And they're talking about more transparency and also this idea of working closer together. But I have to bring up this particular and I know you've seen it, so I'm not telling you anything. But this particular article that was out titled "Why a Police PR Stunt to Pull Over People to Give Them Free Ice Cream Won't Make Any Converts." And when you watch the video, the officer, you know, states this false code mm-hmm. for pulling this black female over and her male husband, a companion in the passenger side. And he says something like, you shouldn't be driving around on a hot day without ice cream. But what stuck out to me is her fear when he approached the car. The amount of stress, the amount of, I guess, just not knowing what's going to happen to me. Think about the black male that's in the passenger side. Now, we just had a scenario, and we know, I believe it was Philando Castile, was that him, or was it? Okay. We know he was in the driver's side, but still, a black man in a car, police officers approach you for no particular reason. I mean, you are in fear, right?
It's like, here we go again.
Here we go again. Right. Am I going to survive this one?
Yeah. Especially for without cause at all, you know.
At all.
Even now, so probably being a little bit more particular about the way you go about driving down a road, Maybe being in front of a police car, making sure you're not doing anything that'll draw attention to your car, and then for you to be pulled over, what is he pulling me over for? That's a scary feeling. And I imagine, you know, that relief that she felt after she discovered that the officer was not being serious was a sign of all that built up tension and stress, like you said, that was leading up into the moments before him saying, you know, don't be out here on a hot day without ice cream.
And
it's like, man, don't be coming up to my car for no reason at all.
It is. It's that level, right, of intrusion and disrespect, right? Like, you can pull me over and decide. Matter of fact, that is a level of control right there, because I can pull you over for good or for ill, and you really have no, all you can do is be subjugated to that. I mean, even the officer giving the ice cream, this gesture of kindness, is still in control of that interaction, you see. And, I'm lactose intolerant.
Right.
Okay.
What are you going to do with ice cream?
What I'm going to do with ice cream, right? And somebody might say, well, that's a silly thing. And no, it's not a silly thing, because let me say this. I understand police officers desiring to kind of break the ice and to show a kinder, gentler, you know, not Rick the officer that's beating, killing you, right? Okay, not that particular officer, right? I understand that. However, this stunt right here will terrify people, okay? They will not walk away from that saying, man, you know, officers are not bad, man. You know, they gave us an ice cream cone.
You
might think I'm being facetious here, but no, I'm not. I'm saying that what is in the mentality of a police force that thinks this is okay, that this somehow is going to, who came up with this idea that somehow this would appease people in such a way that it can somehow be a first step toward communicating with people when you scare the hell out of them?
You know, one of the posts at the bottom of this article was noting that the guy said we need more genuineness of police officers' mm-hmm. actions to try and make some of these things right, or try and make better sense of what's really happening than these staged videos or acts of kindness. Because like you said, what does that do for most people who don't have that type of interaction with a police officer? It doesn't really speak in detail mm-hmm. about our issues with police force or a solution in that regard. And like you said, the ice cream gesture was I guess, an attempt.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what did that really solve?
How about speaking to me like when I'm in a coffee shop and you come in? How about, hey, man, how you doing? You know? How about building a relationship with the people that you're supposed to serve? How about doing that? I mean, it's not genuine. Mm-hmm. It's not genuine. You know, it's like the judge pulling me over, okay, that convicted me last week or something, and said, hey, you know, I'm just gonna get you ice cream or something, you know. So what is that? So, oh,
like
the judge
some
is not
grad school kid.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, judge is not bad right now. And the idea that would even appease me. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you pull me, I'm just gonna say this. As many times as I've been pulled over and messed over, okay. You pull me over and give me an ice cream, something that might drip all over my car anyway, in a hot day. Okay? I'm displeased with that.
Uh-huh.
You wasting my time. Okay? I'm about my business.
That's right.
I don't need you to put, I don't need, this is what I'm talking, this is the ignorance that lies within our police culture. And yeah, people gloss over that, and they say, yeah, it was dumb, it was this, it was that. It's a much deeper, it speaks to a much deeper problem, you see.
Because the lack of respect for your time even is taken into consideration when you're having to be put in that predicament and not have any control over it. Like, man, I'm on my way somewhere.
Absolutely.
Really. Like, more than this time right now and more than that ice cream is worth, I have somewhere to be.
And then doesn't it further speak to the problem that we think, we won't talk about it in the sense that we have a problem, but our behavior will suggest it. So instead of us sitting down having a substantive discussion about the problem, we'll just go get ice cream and pull every black person we have over to give it to. Further isolating and ostracizing the black person's humanity as a person that time is important, the control over their own life is important, and you should have no right to pull me over. Can I pull over a perfect stranger as a civilian? Can I do that? Can I pull over somebody and just give them an ice cream? But as a cop, I can exercise that power over you.
To stop you. First
to stop you. Don't stop me. That's disrespectful to me. And so what I'm saying, when I saw it, man, I was appalled. I just thought this is ridiculous. But it speaks to, I think, the gulf that is between any type of solution-based strategy towards solving this grotesque communication problem that we have between law enforcement and community.
So the deed's been done. The officer is now getting back into his car, driving away. You're in that front passenger seat. What is that conversation like?
Man, what was that?
Right.
What was that?
I mean, because I think what we're
saying. I'm lactose intolerant, man. You want this? I can't eat it. I'm going to be sick, man. This dude trying to send me to the hospital or something.
I mean, because even in that video, you know, you got the chance to see the sigh of relief when she figured out that it was just a joke. And, you know, there was some happiness, so to speak. People enjoy being able to see her smiling after that encounter.
That she was going
to
live.
But we know that in private, that conversation that happened after that driver drove away, after the police drove away, after that camera turned off, they were probably saying to themselves, like, man, are you kidding me?
Exactly.
This guy just stopped us and gave us an ice cream. I mean, and that man just really enjoyed it at the time. Might have been the favorite flavor of the week or something. You know, but at the basis of it, at the fundamental level of respect, it's like, man, why did this officer pull us over in the first place?
Yeah.
We've been profiled. We're black.
You've been profiled. And that's a great point. You have been profiled. Mm-hmm. People say, well, racial profile.
Because would that have worked or gone over the same way had it been a white person? Would it have sent the same message across?
They never
would
have pulled over a white person because white people are not racially profiled. Okay?
That's or, the bottom or an line. Asian. If they would have done it for an Asian person or a Hispanic person, just any other race you name. Why was that so significant? Because it was a black person in the light of what everything that's going on right now.
Because
and that's what gave us its value and its power.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, it's still an indication of how we are profiled. Just
it's still degraded. It's still degrading. And it speaks to the same narrative that has always existed throughout this American experience, that black people are simply controlled. You can control them. I can do whatever I want to do to you. DT, I can pull you over and give you a ticket, or I can pull you over and give you an ice cream. And there's nothing you can do about it. Absolutely nothing. Now, if I was late, maybe she should have went down and complained about being pulled over for no reason and given an ice cream cone. Sweep said, well, that's silly. What are you talking about? He's just trying to be kind. No, he scared the hell out of her.
You can see it all over her face, really.
All over her face, man. And I remember being in the car going downtown with my mother one morning to drop her off at work. That's when I was in high school. She got pulled over, man. I can't even remember the reason, man. And he asked her for her driver's license registration, man. And she went to reach in her purse, man. He pulled out his gun.
Wow.
And I can still see the fear on my mother's face right now.
And then what does that do to a child?
Thank you.
You know, I've been in a similar situation, not with any of my parents, but I was with somebody that I really respected as a man, you know. And then to see kind of his whole demeanor change once the police were around, like, kind of made me even look at him differently, you know, because I understood something else at that point in time.
He became weak.
He was trying to do everything he could to make that a positive situation. He didn't happen to have his license on him at the time. He had a perfectly driver.
Begging. I
mean, had a perfectly fine driver's license. Didn't happen to have his registration. He didn't ask for the insurance. I think that's something he did have with his name on it. But I could just tell in him not having the answers, so to speak, to the officer's questions at the time, you know, built up a nervousness. And then he started to react in certain ways that I didn't think were genuine. You know, it was like, man, really? This police got him acting
so controlling weird. Him. Yeah. The control.
And you talking and saying that story about your mom, I can only imagine just as a child, these people that we have to look to protect us, and we don't see them as our protectors, does something to us as their children, as people in their lives who look to them for guidance and things like that.
We see them as victims, mm-hmm. and we see them as having no more power than ourselves, mm-hmm. and that's a kind of a sober reality. Folks, we're getting deep, going deeper. So stay with us.
But we're back in the studio.
Folks, we will be right
back.
Hi, this is Tiffany Hill, host of Authentic Conversations, a weekly motivational podcast where we discuss matters such as self-worth, relationships, parenting, professional development, physical, emotional, and spiritual health. You can find me on Facebook at Authentic Conversations by Tiffany Hill, on social media at @th_authentic, and you can also subscribe to Authentic Conversations on iTunes and Podbean, and the show is also available on blackinstudios.com. I look forward to connecting with you, and remember, to live authentically is the ultimate form of happiness.
This is Dr. Laura Gillott, and when I listen to podcasts, I always listen to the One Mic, One Voice show.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. And going a little bit deeper into this idea of the fear and the stress that particular moment played in her life. I look at this. The effects on the black health, the physical, the spiritual, and the emotional impact that these living while being black, but in that particular situation.
So emotional, spiritual,
and physical.
So your body is reacting to everything that's happening to you in a given moment. And given the experiences you had leading up to that point, they're true for you.
Yeah.
And so in the black experience, we experience lots of things on a daily basis, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you wake up in the morning, you look yourself in the mirror and you have to look at yourself in your black skin, right? And then understanding how, in relation to the rest of the world, that works out for you.
Yeah.
In that situation with the black woman in the car, she has to understand what being a black woman in America in this time means for her getting pulled over by a police officer. Mm-hmm. So there are all these things that take into account when we're discussing even our day-to-day interaction with life. There are a lot of factors that are pressing on our mind that are making us anxious, that are making us fearful. And it's every day. It's not something that we can escape. It's not something that we can easily escape. And we do. Some of us will go to alcohol. We go to drugs. We go to gambling. We
coping,
go to these other things that try to soothe those pains we feel. But at the end of the day, we can't escape our reality. And at the basis of it all, it's killing us.
And so at the base of it all, it's killing us. What the toll? Well, we know for anyone, stress is a problem, okay? For anyone, stress is an issue. But add on these factors of knowing that the police, an encounter with the police could end in death for you. Knowing that on your job, okay, you're being ostracized, how you could end up getting fired simply because you are different. I mean, when you add all these factors in, all these variables that are added to just being you, just living in America, just being a human being, man, you look at the statistics and heart attack and stroke and all of these things. You know, I understand why people have coping mechanisms. I understand why they turn to the bottle. Understand why because at some point you have to be able to live day to day and to wake up knowing that you're walking into a situation that might adversely affect you. So the, as I call it, the psychological wage of being black, the what works white on your mind each and every day simply because of the skin that you're in.
And like I said, it's not something that we can get away from. You know, we have to consider it every day.
I can't take it off, bro.
All the time. When you go to the grocery store.
I can't unzip it. I mean, just unzip myself, be like, man, what happened to Mike?
That's like, you know, like when they uncover the Scooby-Doo character.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it was a monster. Then all of a sudden it was Mr. Michael. Oh, it's like, oh, it's Michael Eric. And I would have got away with it too if it
right
wasn't for you.
Yeah, it wasn't for you. Right.
But yeah, man, you know, I mean, this is like we try and do is make light of the situation, even though we know deep down, and it is hurting. So badly it hurts us, you know, but we had to keep merging on, keep purging on, but we have to be taking care of ourselves as well, you know.
But let me ask you a question. Think about this impact on young, you know, black boys and girls, because you work with them all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to be an adult having to deal with this, but then when you talk about a lifelong struggle of being the other, of not fitting in, being judged by the color of your skin, not because of your talents, your ability, or the content of your heart, like Dr. King talked about. But so, what have you seen in young kids that speak to the additional? I mean, because you work with all races, so the additional stressors that you would say that brown boys and girls face?
I mean, in general, all of us face the problems of the internet, you know. So kids are not able to escape online bullying, maybe comments or things that further demean their character and their personality and their culture outside of their control. So if somebody makes a video about, you know, what it's like to be black in the hood, and rather or not, that portrays your own personal way of living, you have to live with that, and everybody else that's watching it will understand it or accept it as your reality, whether it's true or not. However, one of the things that I do see now, and I couldn't really speak to this as in my childhood, but there are a lot more kids who are ready to jump to suicide as the means to solve the problems. Whereas back in the day, you may want to try to fight the bully, you may want to stand up to him for once, you know. But these kids are facing so many other psychological pressures that it's like, I don't want to live anymore. Wow. And that's a scary thing to think about when, you know, we have all of these different factors to consider and how to keep our kids safe when they have, you know, other things purging in their mind that don't necessarily come from our influence.
And you bring up a good point. I mean, I think growing up, too, there was a certain level of being in the fairy tale, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you were so naive because of your parents. You didn't understand the world around you. You didn't understand the kind of the challenges of the world. But I think now with social media and the internet, kids are exposed to things, man, that we were not exposed to.
Like, somebody can make fun of you now and it never go away. You know, from now until the time you've gone from this earth, you know, there'll always be the video, there'll always be the pictures, there'll always be the comments. You know, whereas back in the day, it's just the person maybe who could remember the story the best to tell it could tell everybody kind of what happened or kind of frame what was going on. You can defend yourself maybe.
Yeah.
But now you have so many other factors to consider. It's not as easy to escape your faults.
Yeah.
Or to what other people think of you as maybe faulty.
Well, there's this like this permanent record that you talk about that. And we're creating part of the permanent record ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're setting up the Facebook page, we're posting. So we're doing that, but also people are writing that part of that story about who they think we are, right? You know, like on my Facebook sometimes when people come
somebody
in.
Somebody writing a book about you right now.
Right, right. It's probably a horror story or something. But, you know, when people come in and they make value judgments on who you are, right? And to me, that just becomes, you know, that just becomes such a negative thing, because if we want to be in control of anything, we want to be in control of who we are and what we are. And I think just circling back to this whole conversation that we were having about, you know, this black female and her husband, partner being pulled over by this cop with this ice cream thing. There's certain things in this life we want to control. Mm-hmm. We want to control as human beings. We want to control. And I think the less control we have over ourselves is the scarier things are. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're more vulnerable. You open yourself up to much more. Yeah.
I mean, you're so right, man. That word vulnerability, and I've been talking about that, and we've been talking about that now for a year, and I just think people, I don't think people understand what it means to be truly vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You know, I posted something the other day. Folks, what we're going to do, we're going to take a break, and we're going to read what I posted the other day. We're going deeper, DT.
All right.
Okay. Deeper T.
I'm here.
All right. But we'll be right
back.
This is Richard Taplin, host of The Black Box and also the producer here at Blacken Studios. I want to tell you thanks for supporting all of our shows here at Blacken Studios. Please be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Blacken Studios. And also go by our website, blackenstudios.com, to find all of our podcasts, such as One Mic, One Voice, The Roxy by Design Show, The Elijah Bailey Show, The Gamer Stand Podcast, The Authentic Conversations, The Radical Harmony Plus, and also my favorite, The Black Box. You can also email us at podcast@blackenstudios.com. And remember, it's Blacken.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscience. I put on my Facebook, DT, this was August 3rd, and it says, "The truth is I have no power as a black man. You will never coexist with me. You only tolerate me. As Ralph Ellison wrote, I am invisible. My reality." That's what I wrote after. So, and some people, you know, some people took that as, you know, yeah, he's going through a whole lot right now. A lot of people responded in a very positive way to encourage me, right? And I appreciate that. Some people, you know, understood exactly the place of pain I was coming from, okay? Because truly, there are situations for everyone, let's just say this, where we don't have necessarily control, right? But I think as minorities living through the American experience, we have fought to have control, to have certain controls in our life that are afforded to really our white brothers and sisters. We have fought to have a right to education. We have fought to have the right to vote. We have fought to be able to go and sit down in a restaurant. We fought to be able to not be separated into a different hotel. We fought to go to the front of the bus and not the back. So see, you know, we have fought to have controls that are naturally given to people that are seen as being valued. And so my statement was one in which I am saying to you that that fight is still on. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have less controls over my life than I think I've ever felt, man.
Wow.
I'll be honest with you.
And I want to add one more, that we're still fighting to be seen as human beings.
Oh, that's the biggie.
That's at the root of it all, right? But man, I mean, that is a heavy thing, because I know a lot of people, I mean, not even just black, are feeling that pressure of not being in control.
Yeah.
You see lots of people now, you know, pushing for more financial freedom. You know, they want to start businesses, be an entrepreneur. Not be able to have somebody else dictating what your income level is, what your quality of life is. But all of it, you know, still comes with some work. And depending on who you are, where you are, there are going to be some factors that either help you get there or prohibit you from getting there. So that control that you're speaking about comes from the outside, even when we're doing everything we can internally to be the best that we can be.
Let me say this. I would not be sitting in this studio with you today if it had not been for people that opened up doors for me, mm-hmm. protected me, supported me. There is no way my career would be where it is today without the kindness. And get this, the majority of those are my white brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they were in positions of power. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be here. It would be impossible. I couldn't control my own journey. Now, somebody might argue and say, well, nobody controls their own journey. Well, I look at my life as almost being kind of like a leaf in the ocean being tossed to and fro. And every now and then a ship came by and kept me from going too far to the left and bounced me back to the right. And another ship came by and kept me on that path. But clearly, the ocean, at any time in my life, DT, I could have been at the bottom of that ocean. It's only by the grace of God that I'm sitting here, because the reality is there is a system in America that is designed so that a person like me, a person like you, that we drown in that sea.
That's that that kind of invisibleness you're talking about, kind of just being lost in the sauce. Absolutely. Not really having a real place, but you do have a space, right? Man, you know, as people of color, as African Americans, as blacks, as Africans, however you identify yourself, even being invisible sometime to me allow you to have this very unique opportunity to observe what's happening around you, because other people are not seeing you.
Yeah.
And so then you get to be the investigator, so to speak, because nobody else is paying attention. So you see things differently. You may notice certain things that people have the luxury of not. Mm. Just because you've been put in a position where nobody really values what it is that you're looking at or what it is that you're talking about or what
Absolutely.
It is that you're seeing.
You see it all.
And it has validity because you've spent most of your time being an observer, being in the background, having to, you know, just kind of watch, because nobody is pushing you up to a leadership position. Mm. Nobody's encouraging you to put your mind in a place where you can start to think more freely or to start connecting dots or making sense of certain things. And so you do. You sit back, you watch, you listen, you look, and a lot of it is learning. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, a lot of it is is disheartening.
Yeah.
A lot of it is crippling when we're talking about building up our character and our self-esteem and feeling like we mean something to this life and not getting anything in return to validate that. Mm-hmm. And we talk all the time about, you know, not really needing, you know, other people to validate you and to make you feel like you matter. But at some level, that's important, because we're human beings. We're social creatures. We need other people. We do this show because we need understanding between people to make decisions, to make sound ideas and decisions. So, I mean, it really takes all of us, even though most of us are on the outside looking in.
I mean, you, man, beautiful what you just said. What you just laid down was like, man, I was on the Dallas Cowboys field. And, man, that field felt so good. What you just laid down, they could have played on and probably start winning. But you Dallas Cowboys.
Hey, wait. Okay.
Football season coming up. I got on my Badger stuff. I'm getting prepared. Next week I might on my Packers stuff. But no. You said I could not have said it better. I mean, it's so deep, man. And I mean, it's but don't you man, Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois, right? Left America. Got tired, man. Just left. Kwame Ture, which is formerly Stokely Carmichael, left America. I mean, don't you sometimes? Well, maybe you ain't that because you're younger than me, so you're a little bit more optimistic than me.
Let's see. Throw something at me, man.
I mean, you, and for good reason, you are. But man, I tell you, you get to a point where you tired, man. You just, although you are correct, you are invisible in the room, and your observation skills have been honed because of years of invisibility. And so you see how people interact with one another. You become a discerner of genuineness and fakeness. Mm-hmm. You see it right off the bat. And you know for yourself you are invisible because when you speak, no one comprehends. They may look at you like they are, but what comes out of their mouth is a deviation from anything that you have spoken. And so that gets a point in your life where you're just like, man, I'm just tired, man. I'm tired, man. I just, if you don't want me in the space, I won't be in the space. And I know for some, if diversity, when we talk about diversity, all having all people represented at the table, if you're not wanted at the table, a brotherhood, sisterhood, however you want to say it, humanity, sometimes you just, I know for me, there are days where I don't have to be in the space because really I'm not getting anything really from being in the space. Mm-hmm. Really, I'm not.
I felt that too.
Yeah, I'm not learning anything. I'm not growing anyway. Matter of fact, I'm losing because I'm being drained in this space. Mm-hmm. You see, so I'm losing, you know. I don't know, man. So when I wrote that, you know, it was in a moment of disenchantment, you know, a moment of, man, the mirage, you know, man, I'm looking for it because I'm in the desert. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm starving, you know, and I'm also thirsty, man. I can't seem to make it. I'm looking and my conclusion at that moment. Well, that I have no power? Well, do I as a human being believe I have zero power? Of course not. I have the power to come on this show and not to come on this show. I have power to get in my car and leave. I had the power to go, you know, do what I want to do. But my point is that I do not have the same control over my life as a black man in this country as the privileged class. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's just getting old, man. I'm tired of seeing. It's routine now, bro. It's routine. Black folks getting killed. The brother in Chicago just got shot in the back. Okay, this is what's so crazy, right? We're gonna take a break here in a minute. Richard looking at me and giving me all types of signs and everything. I know every time he peek at the clock, he like, yeah, you need to. But you know the brother in Chicago, right? Okay, he stole a car, right? Happens a lot. People steal cars, right? Doesn't mean you die, right? Okay, he stole a car, and they chased him, and he rammed. He hit a police car, kept going. They shot at him. He got out the car and ran. Okay, now he is a criminal because he's done some criminal things, right? Nobody would argue this. What this guy doing is against the law. Okay. Uh-huh. But that's where this is where we're making our mistake. It's against the law. It's not against police officers. It's against the law. And if you break the law, there is due process, okay? Not in the hands of police officers. Police officers don't do due process. A court of law does due process. So what happens? They chase the brother, shoot him in the back, kill him, okay? And then I had somebody, this idiot, this fool that comes on and says, well, he shouldn't have been doing what he did and he deserved what he got. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in other words, if I commit a crime, let me reduce what this idiot was saying. If there are certain crimes by certain states, it's not capital punishment is not in every state. There are certain crimes that warrant death. Okay. But that happens in a court of law. Okay. Doesn't happen on the streets. And so the reality is, when do cops have the right to due process, I guess, by in a matter of seconds, you deserve to die, so I'm going to shoot you. The man didn't have no gun. You heard cops say, did he shoot at us? He shot at us, right?
Looking for a reason. Huh?
He's dead. Okay. Okay. Folks, that's why we have a criminal justice system. That's why you see the lady with the scales and she's blind. No, she ain't blind on the streets. She got her AK in her hand and she's wearing a blue uniform and she's looking clearly. Blindfold is gone and she's shooting at people and people are dying. That's not the way it's supposed to work. They should have apprehended that man, took him to court and tried him and let justice deal with him, not street justice. Folks, I know DT, you want to talk on that. Hold that thought. We're going to go to break and we'll be right
back.
This is Elijah Bailey.
This is Richard Taplin
from the Elijah Bailey Show, bringing you all the content that you could ever desire about anime, manga, comic books, martial arts, fitness, and more.
You can find us at Elijah Bailey Show on the official Facebook page and also Elijah Bailey Show without the W on Twitter and Instagram.
Make sure to follow, subscribe, like, comment, and rate on iTunes and Podbean.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice Show. We're having a great time, DT.
Oh, and Michael, let me tell you, I am over here having the time of my life.
Time of your life. So your thoughts, man, on that?
You know what, man? It's really unfortunate that we're finding ourselves every week, every day, every year in these same predicaments. Like you said, it's kind of a normalness now to everything because nothing takes you by surprise. You expect to see news media reading that another black man has been shot unarmed. You expect to see the press conferences asking, you know, police officers, will this officer be indicted or blah, blah, blah. There's the same things that kind of repeat themselves. One of the things I thought about, though, is back in the 90s, I remember a show called Cops.
Yeah.
Right? And one of the main things about Cops that was entertaining was the police chases.
Yeah.
You knew that somebody was going to take off
running. Take it off. I'm gone.
And, you know, the police would have to.
Jesse Owens.
I'm cutting him off on 44th Street.
I know.
Got an officer coming around. You know, and it was kind of like the cool thing about watching Cops is that you knew there was going to be, even if the cop had to chase the guy down, it may have roughed him up a little bit. But that was the entertaining part about it.
Yeah.
Today, you know, we don't see many police chases. You know, people are not getting too far away to run.
They die.
And like you said, there has to be a responsibility on the police officer side to say, man, look, we're going to handle this situation in a civil way that you know, upholds our position as police officers, but lets the law do its job. You know, we can't be the Grim Reaper out here, so to speak, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, they're calling upon death when they're called to the scene. But we need more officers, man, who are willing to take a different look at or a different approach to the way we apprehend suspects and let that be the model for other people who are trying to figure out how to make that happen.
Absolutely.
Because too often now we're not getting to see the cop. It was the episode of Cops Now 2016. All the episodes the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
They have 30 different situations. Mm-hmm. All of them been shot within 5 to 10 seconds of taking off running.
Yeah.
So, man, we need to switch it up. And I think that, you know, this is where we do the groundwork to try and figure out what are the real solutions to what's happening out there.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you saw the article by the Atlantic Black Star. It was a tale of two women, how police treat black and white women differently. It's powerful, man. You know, it talks about Kendra. Cora Gaines, the police officers serve a warrant, came in, end up killing her. Mm-hmm. And then they give this scenario of a white woman that basically attacked the cops, went off. She stole a police car. Actually stole. They were trying to arrest her. They put her in the back of the car. She maneuvered, got in the front, and stole the police car. And she was asking them to shoot her, to kill her. And you can hear the police, you're not going to die today. Nobody's going to shoot you, this, that, and the other thing. It's a double standard, man. And you know, we could spend you know, the next 60 years talking about this. But
yeah, we will.
And we will. and we will. But I just want to transition a minute to the Black Lives Matter movement. And One Mic, One Voice, we have talked about Black Lives on multiple times. We have been a supporter of the movement because we believe the movement is a movement that highlights the inequality of all peoples. It doesn't say Black Lives Matter more than any other lives. It say Black Lives Matter too. And but I have to, because I like to be I think balanced here at the show. And they came out with their platform, and 90% of their platform I agree with. It's interesting because when you study movements and counter movements, what struck me about the Black Lives Matter platform is that it's too expanse to me. Mm-hmm. I did not know that they were a international movement. Mm-hmm. Their goals are beyond the shores of America. You know, the diaspora and and again, I don't necessarily want to get into the details of it, but into the Middle East and so forth. They're speaking about what should take place there. And I know when you're trying to craft vision and mission, because I've been part of enough organizations and sit on enough boards, and that I have a little knowledge when it comes to this, that I think you, if your vision is too large, you can't get it accomplished. You have to have a very succinct vision. And I think we're the Black Lives Matter movement has made a mistake. Is you're trying to organize around something that I think, in my opinion, is incapable of even building, I think, some strategies and accountability toward those strategies for getting anything accomplished, you know. Mm-hmm. In other words, I can put it out there, but if that is your – I can say that I think they should do this in the Middle East. Well, that's one thing. That's not my vision. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my opinion. But when you slap a vision on something or a platform on, this is what you want your organization to do or to see happen, I think it's too large, DT.
Especially not having people who know or recognize your movement as a national one.
Yeah,
I think that kind of draws a little bit of the spectrum of importance. You know, if this is a grassroots type of local community activist group, you know, those issues are very finite in dealing with your community first and then spreading out, right?
Absolutely.
But where do they go to get the sufficient resources of advisement when it comes to issues that are national or things that are going on abroad that may not have anything really to do with Black Lives Matter initially? But to have the mm-hmm. the correct information to at least yeah. be able to put your opinion on it out there.
Well, and I think you bring up a very good point when you talk about resources, right? You know, without resources, it's very difficult to get anything accomplished.
Because then it's like, you know, who are they reaching out to advise them on matters that are abroad? You know, it's like a YouTube scholar type dude or.
I mean, they, and when you look at their website, I mean, they have the particular, it seems to be individuals that are, highly educated, that are laying forth part of these platforms. So it seems like they've done a good homework in that. I don't think it's achievable. And what the problem is that, and you bring up a good point talking about being grassroots, right? If it's at the bottom, you know, how does it become international? And I would often say that your main focus, the birth of why you exist, that's what we call in the political science area. We talk about the essence of an organization. Why does an organization exist? What is an organization made up of? Okay. And one example is the DEA. You know, the DEA is made up trying to, you know, go after drugs and stop. That's why they exist. So if you solve the whole drug issue, then do the DEA even need to exist? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you have to say, as an organization, why do I exist? You know, what is my essence here? And your essence cannot be everything. Your essence cannot be in all of these different, yes, all these things you talk about, they may be great. They may be, but that's not your, that's not who you are. And so I think they have been misguided into this direction that, in my opinion, can be their dismantling.
It's Achilles' heel, huh?
Well, because you have to solidify who you are and what you are. What is your vision? What are you going to do? And the movement toward equality, to me, come on, man. How long this fight been going on? Okay, so my point, right?
So have we
solved the issue? So how can your vision be beyond this epic challenge that you have stepped into? Black Lives Matter didn't create, okay, the civil rights movement. Okay, they didn't create the Black Power movement. They didn't create, the feminist movement. They didn't create the gay and lesbian and transgender movement. They didn't create. They speak into all of that, but they didn't create. You have stepped into movements, and you have been grafted, as we say, into the vine. Find your spot in the vine, in the plant, in the tree. Find your spot. You are not the tree. You don't craft the next vision for all of these things. Find your essence and then work toward those particular goals. From reading their platform, they're very off track, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. I support them. As I said before, Prince had talked about having them become an economic power, having some, and if I had been advising them, I would have said, this is what where is our component at? When we talk about police brutality, when we talk about equality, when we talk about, okay, where is our resources to be able to accomplish some of these things? We can talk to people forever.
And people will talk forever.
Absolutely. But until we're able to mobilize in a way that requires some type of financial backing. And they got some folks pretty upset at them, man. Folks that supported them, too, because of their platform. Now, they might say, well, I don't care. I'm just speaking the truth. Well, I think you shot at the wrong target.
Is it your business type of thing?
Well, I think some people feel that way, and I have a problem with that, because I think we can speak about all issues in the way that we see them. But I think as far as a platform is concerned, that's where the issue is.
Because in your mind, it's like, how do you set up in Israel to start a platform about anything, right, as the Black Lives Matter movement?
I call on the U.S. government to do this, to de-invest in Israel. Well, okay, it's never going to happen, and I mean that, and it kind of distracts from what you are trying to accomplish. Is it a bold statement? Yeah, I would say it's bold. But then you got millions of people that would disagree with your statement, and so I just don't. Again, I don't know who the advisors are, but if any of you are listening to our show, what I'm going to say to you is, I think you're off track. I support the movement. I think you've done great things throughout the country. I think you got to get back on focus. You got to get back on that mission. You got to get back on why you were created. That's what you need to fulfill.
And I think that's important that you say that, because there is still a kind of mistiness about what Black Lives Matter represents, and it hasn't been as easily accepted amongst most people. So I think in light of them still being an organization that hasn't fully been accepted, or people are still kind of in the gray area about what it is that they stand for, they should be more specific about what their intentions are.
Absolutely.
As to focus on what Black Lives Matter is at this present moment.
Absolutely.
I mean, long term, of course, people may come to you and say, what are your views on such and such? And that's your opportunity to then say, but right now, focus on you.
And you know what? You said it perfectly. You said it perfectly, DT. I mean, this decentralized, birth of the Black Lives Matter movement is trying to centralize itself, but the questions remain who you are. And to all the defense of the Black Lives Matter movement has spoken to the movement being one of black equality, not just black equality, but all equality in the United States, okay? It is also talked about valuing black lives like other lives are being valued. Okay? It has been centralized in these areas of bringing attention to police brutality against black people. If anybody that's been in defense of that have given that response, basically. But when you look at their platform, their platform is man, it's all over the place.
Wide
man.
Open, huh?
And again, I'm not. You can do what you want to do, but what I'm saying is, I think you have added by this platform, and DT, this is the most brilliant point I think you just made. By this platform, you added even more confusion to who you are and what you are and what your purpose is in this society. And so I much love to you. Don't hate. I love you. All I'm saying is, I think you're off course.
Do you?
Off course. One mic, one voice. I'm just saying. I mean, I know I'm going to get some emails about it, get some Facebook messages about it.
I think it's cool. I think that for everybody, man, we need to understand context. You know, everything can be looked at in a certain way, mm-hmm. but if it's incorrect and it don't make sense for anybody, then you need to understand that it may take another looking at.
Absolutely.
To really understand what's happening, because we can say Black Lives Matter and then we can put them and stamp mm-hmm. them on issues that are happening in the military. We can put them on issues mm-hmm. that are happening abroad. And it's like, okay, well, what is the central focus here? Mm-hmm. What is the context in which Black Lives Matter exists and is able to do what it's supposed to do?
Yeah.
As opposed to being all over the place and everybody being unsure about what our purpose is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Been a great show, man. I want to mention that we started our book club. We have been talking about it for a while, and we had a lot of interest in it. And the first book DT and I have picked is Ebony and Ivory, Race, Slavery, and the Troubled History of America's Universities. Man, I mean, people don't understand, man. Universities were steeped in slavery. Universities benefited. These Ivy League universities, okay, Yale, mm-hmm. Brown, Harvard, all of these Ivy League universities used slavery, benefited from slavery. Craig Stevens Wilder is the author. Folks, pick your book up. We're going to be we had a few that emailed us right when we posted it. Mm-hmm. So their books are on their way to them. We're going to be talking about this very important book starting in September. And so folks, pick it up and join the book club. When you pick the book up, take a picture and post it to the One Mic, One Voice podcast page. And if you're fortunate enough to be in the group, post it in the group. But if you're not, you can request to get in the group. Yeah, we take all, But we look at your page, and your page is kind of, as we say in the vernacular, trifling.
There's a screening process.
You're not going to get in. No. But we appreciate you, though. but, hey, man, it's been a great, wonderful show, always, being back in Black in Studios, man, because every time we sit down at this beautiful table, man.
That Richard made, man.
I'm just reminded when I look around and I see the artwork and how the studio's set up, man. And I realize that, DT, history will speak of us. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time. And what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many we became one? Or will she discover that we solved nothing and remained a divided people? Yes, history will speak of us.
it's your choice.
We can make a difference if we try. We can be the change that's in our lives. All we gotta do is work together. We gotta raise our children better. We gotta stop the hate, and spread the love.
One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One
mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One
mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's
your choice.
Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Blacken Studios. To learn more about Blacken Studios, please visit them at blackenstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Blacken Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Blacken Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.